Now, the epistle appointed to be read today for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being a high priest of the good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God. The Jews therefore answered and said to him, Do we not say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever. The Jews therefore said, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, If any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am. They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Could you not watch 1 hour with me? Words taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 26. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear friends, is Passion Sunday. I would like then this morning to talk to you about our Lord's Passion, and in particular, what happened on that first Holy Thursday night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because what happened that night, in particular, I'm referring to our divine Savior being abandoned by his apostles. What happened that night has more often than not been repeated, so to speak, down through the centuries. And thus, on that first Holy Thursday, the Last Supper came to an end that evening. The first holy sacrifice of the Mass had been offered. The sacrament of holy orders had been instituted. And the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist had been given to men. Our Lord and the apostles left the upper room and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was late, but the moon was flooding the city with light. They crossed the brook of Kedron and began to climb the Mount of Olives. While they quietly walked along, our Lord suddenly spoke. You will all, he said, be scandalized in me this night?" Peter immediately answered, "Although all shall be scandalized in thee, yet not I." In other words, while all the other apostles will be scandalized, Peter said, "I will not." But our Lord then said to him in most serious words, "Amen, amen, I say to thee, today, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." But again, Peter, filled with self-confidence, responded, "I will not deny thee." And then the rest of the apostles, we are told, answered in like manner. When they arrived at the entrance to the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord told 8 of the apostles to remain there. He entered the garden only with Peter and James and John. Judas was not with them. Judas had long now turned his mind and his heart away from Christ and had recently resolved to betray him. And our Lord, knowing this, bade the fallen apostle during the Last Supper that what he must do, do it quickly. Judas thus had left the supper before it ended, and he went to prepare for the greatest betrayal in history. He knew that our Lord would be going to Gethsemane to pray, and thus he went to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, to gather the soldiers whom he would lead to Gethsemane. But as our divine Savior walked into the garden with the chosen 3, he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." St. Alphonsus de Liguori says of these words that Christ, that the anguish and the grief of his soul that he felt at that moment was enough to cause his death then and there. In the garden. But he himself, St. Alphonsus continues, prevented his own death in order that he would suffer and die the most shameful and most painful death of crucifixion. Our Lord then asked the 3 apostles to be with him, so that he would not be alone, as he was so overwhelmed with grief and sorrow. He said to them, "Watch with me and pray." He then went forward about a stone's throw from the 3 apostles. There he fell upon his face, that is, flat to the ground. And he prayed, the Gospels tell us, in an agony. "Father," he cried, "all things are possible to thee. Remove this chalice from me, but not what I will, but what thou wilt." Yes, he said this, St. Alphonsus de Liguori writes. He said this, though, St. Alphonsus writes, not that he might be delivered from the pains, for he had already offered himself to suffer them. But St. Alphonsus says, our Lord said this to teach us to understand the agony and sorrow which he experienced in enduring this death so bitter to the senses. The pain, the agony, the sorrow was so dreadful that he arose and staggered over to the 3 apostles looking for consolation. But instead, he found them sleeping. And gently waking them, our divine Savior said to them, in the most sorrowful of voice, in the most pleading tone, could you not watch 1 hour with me? The apostles did not answer him. They could not answer him. But then in his love for them, he warned them. He said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And again he went, he prayed, and the three apostles again fell asleep. But so terrible were our sins, so painful our coldness and indifference to his love, and so crushing the thought of the torments and the cruelties soon to come upon him, that again he falls flat, as the Gospels tell us, on his face, and continues to pray, even as now he sweats a bloody sweat. At length, St. Luke tells us, an angel appears and comforts the God-man. And the comfort of the angel of the agony was not to remove the chalice of suffering. The comfort was to present the chalice of sufferings to our Savior, to show him, so to speak, the good that he would do by his bitter and cruel sufferings and death. That is, the infinite glory that he would render to his eternal Father and the salvation of the souls of men. And thus did our divine Savior, who already knew these things, thus did he wish to show us, St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, by his holy example, that no matter how terrible a suffering, no matter how overwhelming a trial we may have to endure, we should nonetheless persevere in praying, praying with confidence and suffering with patience. But it was not long after this that our Savior returned to the three, who, as I said, had fallen asleep again. Judas the traitor arrived with the soldiers and the temple police. He pointed our Lord out to them by embracing him. But only after our Lord had shown his divinity by causing them to all fall backwards to the ground by the very sound of his voice, did he allow them to lay their violent, cruel, and sinful hands upon him. Even as he stayed the hand of Peter and healed the servant of the high priest whom Peter had struck with a sword. But as they bound his divine hands and feet with chains, and as they tied a rope about his waist, and began to cruelly lead him away as the most wretched of men, the apostles abandoned him. Sacred Scripture says, all leaving him fled away. My dear friends, it was by means of his passion and death that Christ, our divine Savior, paid the eternal debt for our sins, that he satisfied divine justice. He thus saved us from the doom of being lost forever in the torments of hell, even as he saved us for the indescribable joys of heaven. Isaiah the prophet had said of him 800 years before, he was despised and the most abject of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with infirmity. Surely, Isaiah said, he hath borne our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our sins, the prophet said, and by his bruises we are healed. And then this great prophet writes of the future Redeemer, he was offered because it was his own will, and he opened not his mouth. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and shall be dumb as a lamb before his shearer, and he shall not open his mouth. In other words, it was on account of his love for us that our divine Savior embraced his passion and death. Jesus Christ, true God and true man, truly and really loves us. That God loves us is indeed the mystery that St. Paul wrote about in his epistle to the Ephesians, a mystery, he said, that had been hidden from all eternity, but revealed to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Alphonsus de Liguori thus says that before the coming of Christ, men might wonder if God loves them. He said men might wonder if God really cares about them. But after the coming of Christ, St. Alphonsus says, and especially after his passion and death, this great saint says, no one can deny God's love for men. This then is how Jesus loves us. This is how Jesus loves us still. And how he desires, how he longs to be loved by us in return. And yet, my dear friends, when all is said and done, the real tragedy today, the real tragedy today is that few there are among the billions of people in our world who really and truly love him. Few there are today who are really and truly striving to love him. Few there are today who are truly grateful to him and for his love for them. And how much he suffered for them during his passion on that first Good Friday. Do we, my dear people, do we take to heart how much he loves us? Do we, in the course of our lives, consider his love for us? Do we appreciate him, his cross, his passion and death, his presence here in the Holy Eucharist? Do we love him? Can we say that we do love him more than we love the things of this world? Let us who have received the grace to understand the mystery that had been hidden from all eternity, let us ever strive to love God above all things and our good Savior in return for the excess of love by which he loves us. Let us ever keep in our hearts a remembrance of his passion and death throughout our lives. For there is nothing more moving, nothing more assuring of how much he loves us and how much we ought to love him than the memory of his sufferings and death. As we prepare then for another Holy Week, in which through the beautiful ceremonies of the Church, which ceremonies we really are so privileged and blessed to have here, we will, through these ceremonies, so to speak, we will relive the events of the Passion and Death of Christ. Let us, my dear people, dispel all coldness and indifference from our hearts. And let us come and watch an hour with him at the altar of repose. I know this can be a great inconvenience for many of you. But isn't he worth it? Isn't he deserving of it? Come and watch at least an hour with him at the altar of repose, offering him your hearts, hearts full of love and gratitude, hearts that are pure, hearts that are patient, and striving to bear patiently the sufferings of their state in life, confident that our good Jesus will indeed love you and bless you all the more. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.